This morning's reading is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. That's the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever your heart learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Hi, everyone. Thanks very much, Philippa. Hayden, well done. Such a great testimony. Can we give him one more round of applause? You might not know that two of the song choices, Saviour of the World and How Deep the Father's Love for Us, were chosen by Hayden. I won't say thank you for that because I sung it so loudly, I've now lost my voice. So everything else, you did great. Your song choices were too good, though. It's such an honour to be able to speak on this occasion of Hayden's baptism. And the words that Philippa just read are really lovely words that speak into the reality of all of our lives. Because some days, the pressure of life is just too much. There are times where thoughts, cares, and jobs just spin around our minds like a frantic carousel. This carousel spins so quickly from one thing to the next that we just can't keep up. And the ironic funfair music plays. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. We all feel like that sometimes. We feel under pressure in our jobs, trying to not feel like an imposter all the time. We feel under pressure in our finances, trying to put food on the table or pay for the mortgage. We feel under pressure in family life, trying to create that picture-perfect image that we thought we'd have sorted by now. And being a Christian doesn't make all those things disappear. I hope this isn't news to you, Hayden, but life's problems don't evaporate once you've been baptized. There are Christians here in the church family that got baptized 60, 70 years ago, and they'll tell you that they still feel under pressure at times. In fact, being a Christian sometimes adds to life's pressures. We can feel burdened by the cares of a very large church family like ours. We can feel distressed when our loved ones don't follow Jesus. And we can feel disturbed when our country turns its back on the Bible. We're all under pressure. So, Hayden, how are you going to stand up straight rather than bend under the weight of this world? How are any of us going to stand up when the pressure is on and we feel pressed to breaking point? God's given us these verses, Philippians 4, 4 to 9, to answer those questions. The church that Paul was initially writing to in Philippi, they were under pressure as well. If you were to read the rest of the letter, you'd find out that their beloved apostle Paul was in prison. Their friend Epaphroditus was sick and had almost died. There were people in the church that had fallen out. They faced opposition from the state, and they lived in what Paul calls a warped and crooked generation. They were under pressure. But in Philippians 4, verse 1, Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand up straight. Do not move. Do not bend. And then in verses 4 to 9, we find three instructions that will help us to do that, that will help us to stand firm when under pressure. There are actually more than three instructions, but I'm just going to focus on three of them today. Here's the first one. Rejoice in the Lord always. You can see it in verse 4 if you've got your Bibles open. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Imagine the scene. I come home from work and my wife Mel has had the worst day imaginable. The train was late, her commute was terrible, her colleagues were arguing, the to-do list piled up, and when she arrived home, the house was in a complete mess. And so I come through the door, hear all about this, and I just say to her, cheer up, give me a smile. How's that going to go? Not so well. In verse 4, Paul isn't saying, cheer up, give me a smile. There's no point commanding someone to rejoice in their circumstances all the time. Human beings just can't do that. Paul couldn't be happy that he was in prison. The Philippians couldn't be happy that they were under pressure. You can't rejoice that your loved one is sick. You can't rejoice that you've fallen out with a friend or that you've just lost your job. Doing that would just be fake. So let's read God's word intently. What is God instructing us to do here? Not rejoice in your situation always, but rejoice in the Lord always. Paul was in chains, but he could rejoice in the Lord. The Philippians were under pressure, but they could rejoice in the Lord. The weight of the world may be pressing down upon you, but if you're a Christian, you can still rejoice in the Lord Jesus. This is so much better than just kind of looking at the silver lining all the time. It's really irritating when people try to put a silver lining on a mushroom cloud. You don't have to do that. Instead, what you can remember is, no, my situation is not good, but Jesus is. Even when everything is changing, you can remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even when your boss is unfair to you, you can remember and rejoice that Jesus is your perfectly just heavenly master. Even when a family member is sick, you can rejoice that Jesus comes alongside you to weep with you. Even if you lose all your earthly possessions, you can rejoice that Jesus has bought you heavenly riches that will last forever. Even if a loved one turns their back on you, you can rejoice that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. Every other joy in this world can be lost, but your relationship with Jesus can never be taken away. If our faith is placed in Jesus, we have a righteousness that comes from God. We have the power of his resurrection. We have his presence with us through suffering, and we have our own resurrection to look forward to. So even through times when we're under pressure, we can say with Paul, I consider everything as a loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. How will you stand firm under pressure? Rejoice in the Lord always. The second instruction to help us stand firm under pressure is this. Do not be anxious. We'll put it up on the screen. A quick side note before diving into this one. Anxiety is a spiritual and medical issue. It's never just spiritual. It's never just medical. It affects the whole of our being. And because it's a spiritual and medical issue, it sometimes needs spiritual and medical treatment. I'm going to be talking about the spiritual remedy for anxiety. But I'm definitely not denying that practical or medical steps may be necessary in some circumstances. Sometimes we do need both. Now look with me at verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we're under pressure, feeling anxious is normal. our shoulders tighten, our breaths are shallow, our mind is racing. But while the feeling of anxiety is normal, it is not inevitable. Here we discover that the antidote to anxiety is prayer. And here we discover a wonderful promise of peace. A shallow understanding of this won't work. A shallow understanding of this will not work. This promise of peace isn't for those who only pray when crisis hits. Oh, I'm feeling anxious. God, please take it away. Don't expect the peace of God to guard your heart and your mind if that's your sort of prayer life. The promise of peace is for those who have learned a regular habit of praying in every situation. That's what the verse says. In every situation. This promise is for those who respond with prayer, whether it's morning, noon, or night. This promise is for those who pray in the good times and the bad. This promise is for those who ask God for everything, even down to their daily bread. This promise is for those who have such a trust in the goodness of God that they will continue to give thanks for what he's doing, even when the pressure is on. Now, sometimes we think of the command to pray as an additional burden. We feel the pressure to pray because we want to be a good Christian. And reading verse 6 might feel like adding yet another item to your back when you're already about to buckaroo. And sorry if you don't know what that game is, that must seem like a really weird sentence. But prayer is about removing our burdens, not adding to them. This verse doesn't say that our prayers have to be 10 minutes or longer. This verse doesn't say that we have to pray in a particular way at a particular time. That's not what our Father cares about. Sometimes we even kind of feel guilty for falling asleep while we're praying at night. But actually, our Heavenly Father loves when we fall asleep in his arms. There's a frequently repeated quote that gets attributed to all sorts of well-known Christians. I don't know which one it was. I rarely pray for more than 10 minutes, but I rarely go for more than 10 minutes without praying. And I think that's good. However you're able to pray, just pray. In whatever life stage you're at, in whatever circumstances you face, cultivate a habit of prayer that you can frequently repeat. In the car or on a walk, at the desk or lying in bed, even propped up outside your toddler's bedroom door at 2 a.m. in the morning. Pray. Whatever you repeat, you get good at. So practice responding to every circumstance with prayers and petitions, presenting your requests to God. And what a lovely promise we have for those who do pray in every situation. Verse 7 is worth reading again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't think I've told you this story before. In 2019, I'd been invited to teach at a Bible college in Kazan, Russia. And through a translator, by the way. And the contact that I had there, he was already out in Kazan, so I had to travel to Russia on my own. And I was really nervous about this, to be honest. I was checking my passport every like 10 seconds or so. I was asking everybody to be praying for me because I was terrified that I was going to land in Moscow and then catch the wrong flight and end up stranded in Siberia or somewhere like that. I was feeling really nervous. But my first flight did land in Moscow airport. It was around 2 a.m. And I queued up with the rest of the crowd to get through customs. Handed over my passport for my visa to be checked. And I waited. I looked to my left, I looked to my right as everyone else on the flight filed through. But for some reason, mine was taking longer than everyone else's. The guard behind the glass looked down at my visa with a frowned, concerned expression on their face and picked up the phone. I'm really getting nervous now. Everyone else on my flight has already filed through. I'm the only one in this airport, seemingly. And being a Christian minister, I have had issues getting into certain countries like China before, but this felt different. This felt actually hostile. And there on my own, the guard beckoned to someone to come over, and towards me marched a 6'5" security guard holding a rifle. And I was escorted to a holding room. And there, for 45 minutes, without being told what was going on, without being told what the objection was, I sat there under armed guard. But do you know what? In those 45 minutes, I knew the peace of God. I prayed and had an unexplainable sense of calm, and it was actually the most calm I'd felt in the entire trip, because I knew that I was in my Father's hands and that eventually I would get to where I was going. By the way, that story says nothing about my godliness or otherwise, but it does show that God keeps his promises to those who pray in every situation. There are many others in our church family that will be able to tell you slightly different stories of this supernatural peace, facing death, facing unemployment, facing suffering. They'll tell you of a counterintuitive sense of calm that can only be from God. This peace is in Christ Jesus. It comes because of his cross, and it is eternal, it is external, and it is internal. It's eternal because it's a ceasing of conflict and the beginning of friendship between us and our Maker. The peace that comes from God is also external. As a result of the cross of Christ, it begins to flow through all of our relationships, breaking down barriers that once had existed, bringing people together. And God's peace is internal. Knowing that all is well eternally produces a calm that can't be figured out in any other way. Do anxious thoughts attack your mind and heart? The peace of God is a guard. It is a shield wall. It is a flood defense against that attack. It is strong enough to stand firm, however helpless you might feel. It is high enough to protect you, whatever you are facing. It is wide enough that everyone who trusts in Jesus can find shelter behind it. And this peace is promised to all who pray in every situation. Now, here's the final instruction to help us stand firm under pressure. Think about better things. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Do you know how paths are created through forests? Have you ever thought about that? By walking down the same route hundreds and thousands of times. Every time people clear away and flatten the ground, and each time someone walks down that path, it becomes easier for the next person to follow. Our minds are like that. We may have ingrained patterns of thinking that we have trained ourselves in over many years. And there may be unhealthy paths that we consistently choose to walk down when the pressure is on. It's easy for dark thoughts to roost in our minds when we're under pressure. God is against me. I can't do this. Life is pointless. I am worthless. But God wants us to train a different route of thinking. Paul says, think on better things. We need to clear new thought pathways through our minds. And each time we practice this, the next time becomes easier. There are 8 things to think about in verse 8. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Practice thinking about the truth rather than lies. Dwell on what is noble rather than what is dishonorable. Fill your mind with what is right rather than what is wrong. Pure instead of dirty. Lovely instead of hateful. admirable rather than detestable, excellent rather than substandard. Think on what is praiseworthy rather than what is contemptible. These things can be found in all of God's creation in parts, but they're especially found in the good news of Jesus. We want to be creating gospel pathways through our minds, new ways of thinking that are informed by the good news of Jesus. So when that dark thought roosts, God is against me. If you're trusting in Jesus, practice thinking, no, he's not. Jesus has died for my sin. My God is for me. And when we have that dark thought in our minds, I can't do this, a new gospel pathway appears. Yes, I can, through the power of the Holy Spirit who works within me. When I think life is pointless, actually no, the new gospel pathway shows us that life has wonderful purpose in glorifying God. And of course, the gospel teaches us that we are far from worthless. Actually, you are so valuable that Jesus would lay down his life to save you. When you're under pressure, which thought path will you follow? And by the way, it's something we have to put into practice as well, as you see in verse 9. Hayden, it's awesome to be able to celebrate with you. This baptism is just a great occasion. But there are going to be times in your life where the pressure is on. Here's how to prepare for those times. Rejoice in the Lord. Learn to pray in every situation and train your mind to think on better things. And along with all these instructions, there's an encouragement as well. The Lord is near. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. The God of peace will be with you. Follow those instructions. Hold on to those encouragements and you will stand firm. And this message is for all of us here. But I will say that you will only be able to do it if Hayden's story becomes your story. Without Jesus, there's nothing to rejoice in when everything else is taken away. Without Jesus, there is no supernatural peace to guard you. Without Jesus, the God of peace will not be with you. So come to him. Come to Jesus. Get to know him and decide for yourself whether what he says makes sense. Here on a Sunday morning, you are always welcome. It's a great place to get to know Jesus. And on your way out, you'd be very welcome to pick up one of the biographies of Jesus written by the Apostle John. You can take that for free. There's also a little booklet there all about Jesus if you'd like to get to know him more. Let's pray. Father God, we lift before you all who today are feeling under the weight of the world, like it's pressing down upon them. Father, please help us to stand firm, even under pressure. May we rejoice in the Lord Jesus always. May we pray in every situation rather than giving in to anxiety. And may we think on better things when those dark, non-gospel thoughts come to take root. Father, we pray that each one of us would know Jesus so that the peace of God, your peace, may rule in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.